Technology.ie. It's Wednesday, August 10th, 2014.
Technology.ie is brought to you by Ireland's premier hosting and domain registration company, Black Knight. Black Knight offer a comprehensive range of hosting and domain solutions for businesses of all shapes and sizes, no matter where they are in the world.
This is Conor Muinichon in the Black Knight studio, and on the line on Skype is Una Kavanagh. Hi, Una.
Hello.
Fáilte.
Oh, thank you.
Una, you're known as an online journalist. I know you from Twitter and Facebook. You've worked with her.ie in the past. You've worked with, who else have you worked with? Storyful, I think?
Storyful as an intern journalist, which I'm delighted to have been able to have the opportunity to do, because I actually was with them at the very start. I think it was in 2011 or something, but a long time ago. So I got to see them when they were just little fledglings. And so that was exciting. And then I was with Just Eat as well.
Very good. And but now you're giving all that up, Una, and you're going back to college, essentially. Tell me about that.
Yeah, I've always been working. So I decided actually to leave my position in her.ie in June of this year to pursue hopefully a career in cooking. So I'm going to do a 3-month certificate course in Ballyblue in a couple of days, actually. So so I'm very excited about that. But yeah, it's kind of like a big career change, but it's kind of one of those things that's definitely been at the back of my mind, you know, when it's kind of festering there. Oh, that sounds actually a bit rotten, but it was a good sort of thought.
Very good. Well, some of us, many years later, Owen, are still trying to figure out what we want to do with our lives. So I commend you on taking action on the things that might have been festering or lurking there in the backgrounds. But what I'm really interested in as well, Owen, is the fact that you're a blogger. You're a blogger to the core, I think, and you've decided to set up a site to really focus on this interest. And it's at the domain spillthebeans.ie. Tell me, what is that site and what it's about?
Yeah, well, blogging has always been, I suppose, essential part. Like since college, I guess, I've always liked to write. And I have my own website where I do kind of my own really personal stuff and my mental health stuff and things like that. But there was never really an outlet for me to write about food. And obviously, this is a career that I'm hoping to get into. So when I left my job in June, I decided to set up this website. I'm really happy with the title that I got it, which kind of suggests, I suppose, punny, which is kind of in my nature. But it basically covers a lot of things, from food reviews, the usual kind of typical blog things from reviews and recipes. But also there's a section that I like to cover, which is a news section, which covers what's coming out, what's affecting the food industry and things like that. And then I have a store section, which basically covers 3 supermarkets and what they have, the latest that they have in store. And then I have a seasonal section as well to tell you what's in season for this month, so you can get the best value if you're going into store or whatever. So, and then actually finally, I have my kind of, I suppose with news anyway, if I have an opinion on it, it would go into a more personal piece. So it would go into the editor piece section of my website. So it kind of has a broad range really throughout the whole site. So you can imagine how much I have to maintain every day. So
well, see, this is the thing. And it looks like a really busy website, Una. And at first glance, you think surely there isn't just one person here behind it, but there's a lot going on. And that's reflected in your traffic. It's been quite impressive since you launched it.
Yeah, I mean, I've been actually very surprised. It seems like people do have an appetite of this sort of thing. I guess I suppose it's good in one way, because it is kind of technically a blog, but it also covers a more serious side of things. But it doesn't look very corporate or anything. So it doesn't look like you're getting news from a very kind of newspapery type, where, you know, this is so serious, you have to read this kind of thing. So it's very a loose sort of free sort of writing thing. So yeah, it's been doing great traffic in the last 3 months. I've been kind of, yesterday actually I managed to hit 10,000 hits, which I'm really, really ecstatic about, because I couldn't even imagine getting that many hits in such a short space of time. But interesting enough, what actually got those hits or started to kind of push the trend upward is stuff that people are talking about, like gluten-free was the biggest pusher, which is there's a kind of a strange fad that's going around with gluten-free at the moment. People seem to be kind of veering into it as a trend. And then I don't know. But anyway, that's the one that's been, people have been staring at for the past couple of months anyway. So,
And what's your take on it, Una? Is gluten-free, is it more of a fad or a necessity? Or what's your feeling about it?
Well, definitely it's a necessity for obvious reasons. It's a necessity to have stuff there. But it seems like everyone suddenly wants to jump onto a gluten-free bandwagon. which I don't think is very necessary, you know. And you kind of hear these horror stories of people just going around saying, no, well, I'm not having that because it's gluten-free. No, it's not gluten-free or anything like that. So I feel almost like people are just saying it to sound like they're being healthy or something, but they don't realize the necessity that people who actually need things that are gluten-free, you know, the value that it means to them.
Yeah.
So I don't know. To me, at the moment, it seems very faddish, but hopefully people grow out of it. Kind of like kale, although I really like kale, but people had a weird obsession with it recently. So, but yeah, I don't know. We get on some weird food trends every so often. Actually, one more thing.
Yeah.
That definitely, the food trends. What were those things that people... Cronuts. Everyone was obsessed with cronuts. Anyway, we'll see what happens with this one. But
I suppose you're going to have trends in everything. You've got trends in tech. You've got trends in fashion, definitely.
Exactly. Yeah.
You've got trends in food. But underlying it all, I suppose, there's a message. There's how would you describe your message, Una? What's the ethos of Spill the Beans?
Honesty, I guess, is the biggest thing. Because I see so many bloggers out there who are reviewing things, and it's almost like they're overly positive about something, you know, because the bloggers tend to visit the same places, usually, across Ireland or whatever, or we see Get Products or things like that. And for a lot of them, not a lot, you know, but for some that I've been coming across anyway, the reviews are overly positive, you know. They're kind of just avoiding saying something bad, almost like as if they've been given the product or given a free dinner at something or lunch, and they have to give it a positive review, or else, you know, they're not invited back or something like that, which I don't think is the way to go about things. And it's even with things like news as well. Yes, I have some opinion on things. Like, for example, I'm a big advocate of growing your own food, but that's only my personal thing. So I have an interest in DIY international and things like that. But that's me personally, and I'll put that in my editor section. Mm. You know, but with news, and you can't be biased. And I've always believed that you can't be biased. You have to be ethical about what you're writing about. You know, if you write something and someone challenges you on that, that's fair enough. You know, you can't delete messages or you can't delete comments. You know, you have to accept what you write. Mm. And hopefully you believe what you write, which is the most important thing to me personally.
There is a kind of snobbery, isn't there, sometimes in food writing, and a preference towards, well, growing it yourself if you can, or getting it from the farmer's market, and people often tend to turn up their nose at the multiples and the supermarkets. You haven't taken that approach. You're focusing on what's available in terms of good quality food and fruit and vegetables in some major supermarkets.
Yeah, I'm kind of looking at an overview of things. I really like local things that are locally sourced, because I think that it's really important to get the freshest and not to have too many food miles and things. I sound like a real hippie person right now, but I actually just genuinely think that so much kind of processed stuff goes into food, and it's just really nasty. Like, I've no problem with buying a packet of Oreos or whatever, you know, every so often. And I don't feel like I'm a person to preach, oh no, you should be growing this because it tastes much better. Like, I'm not going to do that or anything. But I think that I personally get a big kick out seeing like a courgette growing in the garden and then just plucking out, or tomatoes and things like that. So for me, it's very much, I feel better for growing things. That might be for you, and that's fair enough. But we do have the opportunity in Ireland to do these things, because even with things like DIY, they have on their site, they have places where you can look at allotments that you could share or things like that. So even if you're short of space, there is an opportunity to grow things, which I think it's a lot of fun, especially for families. I mean, they'd get a kick out about seeing tomatoes or whatever, you know. So it's a good family day out or things like that. So, no. Why not?
what's your take on the story during the week from the English market in Cork, Una, of the market trader who was stocking up in Lidl in the morning and then selling Lidl produce at a hefty markup to people in the English market who were paying, perhaps they thought, for locally grown food, and in fact it had been bought from Lidl in the morning.
Yeah, that's crazy. Like, to me, that's so dishonest, especially with the English market that has such a, you know, a reputation to maintain and everything like that. But like, what? Why would you do something like that when you're going to get caught? You know, it's kind of like, you probably, like, I suppose he or she had the inkling that, okay, maybe I won't get caught. But I mean, someone would have sussed it out here, you know, like, especially if they asked.
I thought it was interesting. I didn't hear the full interview on Cork 96 FM about it. And I didn't hear, I didn't read a whole lot about it, but I did catch something secondhand in one of the papers in the last day or two. And they were suggesting that the man in question had defended himself. He said a lot of his customers were restaurants and they were looking for a certain kind of quality at a certain kind of price. But the thing about it was that they could, you know, they could have just gone into Lidl and got that same quality for. And, you know, I have to say, I mean, for a lot of people, you know, might be of the opinion, well, the English market is well enough if you can afford it and have the time to go in there and browse around. But it's nice to have there is some very good quality fresh food available in supermarkets in Ireland as well, it has to be said.
Oh, yeah, definitely so. And I'm actually glad to see that so many supermarkets are more embracing bringing Irish producers into their range and things like that. Mm. You know, so they seem to be more willing to source things from home instead of relying on imports and things like that, you know. So that's really good to see because, no, yeah, definitely that the quality of some things in supermarkets are fantastic. You know, it's great. Like, I mean, and so convenient as well because you know that it's packaged safely or whatever. But then at the same time, I'm kind of like, if your neighbor or whatever is growing something, then yeah, it's easier to pop down and get it from them kind of vibe. But I know, I do understand that sometimes that organically stuff is often a bit pricier than what you can afford. So definitely for me anyway, it is about, well, you have to be able to afford it. You can't go splashing out on crazy ingredients if you definitely can't afford it. But if you can, try and get things at least produced in Ireland, even if it's from a supermarket or anything. You know, a lot of stuff is in Ireland, from the potatoes or from mushrooms and things like that, and onions. You can get them from Ireland. So definitely look at the label, actually. I don't think a lot of people do that. They don't check actually where the product is from. So I kind of, oh God, I could waste like half an hour in a supermarket staring at labels and people wondering what I'm doing, if I'm going to steal something. So it's just kind of, so if anyone sees me in a supermarket, I'm just reading labels.
Una, I think you're someone that has always impressed me as someone who has built up a personal brand online, and I think people would have followed you from one, maybe follow you personally on Twitter or on Facebook or whatever indeed it might be, even though you might have, and as I was saying to you earlier, you've left her.ie for quite a while, and I hadn't even noticed because I was following you rather than so much the job or the role that you were in particular in. Do you find that you have an audience that has crossed over and that are may have read what you've contributed in previous jobs and are now following you to spillthebeans.ie?
Yeah, definitely. I noticed, I actually got a call about an article I wrote a while ago, and it was really funny because it was stereotypical me. It was about, they wanted me to talk about one of the articles I did for her daughter, and I was like, well, I'm not actually with them. And they were like, oh, it was about cats and it was great. And I was like, boy, have I changed. You know, I mean, as much as I still love cats, but I was like, oh, I'm not writing about that stuff anymore. So yeah, like, I mean, I've been lucky enough that I have been interacting with people anyway in the food industry, and particularly bloggers, because some of them are absolutely fantastic and they're the nicest of people. So it's kind of a very much a little hub that we've got going on. And I do have a group on Facebook actually that I set up for food, Irish food lovers and food blogs and things like that, where we can just talk about things and share recipes and share, you know, if we have questions about equipment or stuff like that. So it's quite handy to still have that little group, because it does feel like a group. I don't want to, like, it's not as cliquey as people think it is, because a lot of people just love food and that's pretty much it. Like, you know, I think there's a saying, I can't remember who said it. It's like, I think I write because I'm hungry. And I think that's kind of a really nice way of putting it. You know, we just love food, and if we're willing to talk about it. So come and say hi.
And while we're on that subject, who else would you recommend, or what other Irish food blogs and sites are there in particular that you think people who are interested in the subject would enjoy?
Oh, right. Well, actually, now let me think, because there's loads of them. Off the top of my head, Nessa Robbins, Nessa's Family Kitchen. Her blog is fantastic, very much family orientated, and really lovely photos. And her book is out as well, Apron Strings. And then another friend of mine, Katrina Redmond, who's Wholesome Ireland. And her blog is absolutely fantastic. She does food and budgeting and parenting. So it's very much kind of what a lot of Irish people are into at the moment, even if you're not on the parenting side of things or whatever. But in terms of budgeting, like, she managed to feed, I think, a family of five, and it was like on a ridiculous budget. So she'd be great as well. I think, do you know, funny enough, a lot of women, I don't, like, I know a few male bloggers, but it does seem to be mostly women who I see who are writing. I don't know what that says about Ireland or anything, but it's maybe, I don't know, but like, it's interesting to see, like, the people who I've contacted initially were all women. Mm-hmm. But there are a few that I definitely love reading who are men, like Robert Jacob of Jacob's Crackers, which is really aptly titled, and then Dermot O'Sullivan, who's Gas Mark 7. So they're all kind of, that's our little community. But as I said, we're not like, oh, you can't join this club because you don't write about food. It is very much, hey, you eat, I eat, let's eat together, you know.
So, fantastic.
Yeah.
You might send me on maybe a list of some of those, and we'll include them in the notes when we publish this podcast as well. And I have to congratulate you, Una, on the on snapping up the domain. It's a great name. Was it one that was dropped by somebody else, spillthebeans.ie?
Yes, it was.
Excellent.
It was.
And I saw you posting, I think, on Twitter. Their Facebook page is still pointing and still sending traffic to you, to your site, now that you own the domain.
Yeah, it is. And I actually got in contact with them again because I was like, listen, lads, you know, as much as I like the free traffic or whatever, look, it's, you know, just change it just for your own sake.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, yeah, fair enough. That's grand.
That's good.
But yeah, no, I was delighted to get that one because, oh my God, if you saw the list of names I was trying to pick for this website, because you want something that's going to stick a bit, at least, hopefully. But some of them, I don't know, they were the most ridiculous names that I've ever come up with. But you don't want to hear them because they're just so far-fetched. So I was like, there's no way that I could use this title, because no one would be like, everyone would be very confused about what exactly I was talking about. So I was trying to get something that was just made sense, I suppose, that kind of did cover food in this title, but also kind of reflected that I was writing about news and stuff like that. I think more that I am pitching more the news element of the site instead of the recipe and review thing. But anyway, we'll see as it goes on anyway. But I'm delighted to have the domain.
Well, anyone who's done it knows that it can be very tricky to come up with a good domain name. But we here in Black Knight in particular, Una, are very, how would you say, we're strong believers in the value of a good domain name. Finally, before we let you go, Una, and thanks again, I wanted to ask you, can you tell us a bit more about this course of study you're going to do? You're going to Ballymaloe.
Yes, I am. It is like the ultimate dream. I'm spilling over Dorina Allen, Rachel Allen books at my home. Basically, it's a 3-month long certificate course. So it's pretty much, I would say it's a 9-to-6 job, but it's not, because you can get up super early to get into the kitchens and you can do optional things like making cheese and milking cows, and you're on duty roll. So it's quite intense. Like, I mean, it's for serious food people, I would say. You know, you wouldn't want to kind of go into it half-heartedly, because you do have midterm exams and final exams. And they kind of vary. One of them that what I'm kind of worried about actually is the wine exam, because as much as I love wine, I'm not sure that I'm actually, you know, have the skills of identifying wines and everything. But I'm sure I'll learn those, because we do have wine lectures every week as well. So, oh, it's I'm really looking forward to it. I'm actually really looking forward to making cheese, because I'm kind of a cheese fiend. So I'm sure they'll have to replenish their stocks after I've left the course. So, but I think there's like 60 something students going to be there. So it's actually quite a big course, and not from all nationalities and all ages. So I'm delighted to kind of, if there was any kind of college in inverted commas thing that I wanted to do, it would be this. I don't see myself doing any MA at the moment anyway. This is kind of, and in 3 months it seems kind of realistic, because I actually had to uproot my life from Dublin to move back down to Kerry to go to Cork. So it's quite a big change. It's nice to be home in the kingdom, of course, but it's kind of strange to be, since I've been spending the last 5 years in Dublin, it's very weird to come back here and just be staring at a garden again.
Well, Una, we wish you the best of luck with it, and thanks for talking to us on technology.ie.